Good morning, and thank you for being here with us today. It's been nearly a year since Hamas led an attack on Israel on October 7th. The conflict has expanded beyond Gaza to the West Bank, Lebanon, and in a limited capacity, Iran. The region is on a knife's edge, waiting for either a de-escalation or an all-out war. Arash Azizi is a visiting fellow at Boston University and the author of The Shadow Commander, Soleimani, the U.S. and Iran's Global Ambitions, and What Iranians Want, Women, Life, and Freedom. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
So Iran and Israel have been in a proxy war of sorts for years. How close do you think they are now to direct conflict?
They're closer than they've ever been in the history of both countries. Following the recent attacks by Iran and Israel, Israel has basically promised that they will give what they call a significant response, and Iran has said that they will also respond to that attack in turn. So, unfortunately, it appears that we are very close to the possibility of a direct war. Although there are still hopes that it can be contained, that it can, you know, be kept at a couple of clashes, but you know, there are many signs now that it might unfortunately be more than that.
And to what extent do you think will this conflict evolve into one between the U.S. and Iran and not just Israel and Iran?
Frankly, I don't see a way in which this doesn't involve the United States. It's one thing for the United States to try to stop Israel, to try not to get itself involved. But if we have a full-on war, Israel is one of the closest allies of the United States. It has great support on the Hill and in the White House. I can't see a scenario in which there is a significant Iran-Israeli war without a significant U.S. presence. It's almost guaranteed under the current conditions to also involve the United States.
Iran's closest ally in the region, Lebanon, is already fighting with Israel. And on Friday, missiles were fired from Iraq, another Iranian ally, and struck Israeli targets in the Golan Heights. And Israel is reported to have struck a Russian weapon depot in Syria. Do you think Iran will be able to coordinate its regional allies to fight Israel?
We should actually remember that Lebanon and Iraq, the governments of these countries, while the government of Iraq is certainly close to Iran, but they're not the ones actually attacking Israel. These are militias operating in... Exactly, militias operating inside Iraq and Lebanon that did the attack. And I think that really matters because even the Iraqi government, despite its good ties with Iran, it actually also cares for its relationship with Saudi Arabia, with Jordan. And these are all Arab states that are also Western-backed, that have great ties with the United States. They're usually, unlike Iran, they're open to possibility of ties with Israel. So I think Iran is going to have a very tough time. Yes, it can bring all its militias, but these are not state powers. Iran will have a very tough time trying to bring state allies. And you mentioned Russia, which is also relevant here. You know, Russia historically has also had good ties with Israel. I think, you know, this recent attack on the depot in Syria will definitely complicate it. But Iran will have a very tough time finding allies. At best, it can rely on this country's neutrality. But there's almost, you know, not a single country in the region who would actually want to fight with Iran against Israel.
And if Israel strikes at Iran's oil facilities or its nuclear facilities, what kind of response do you think we can expect from Iran in terms of what is known about its military capabilities?
So the Iranian military officials, including both the sort of official media and official, so leading military figures in Iran, have already gave a list and maps of where they want to hit, different refiners in Israel and the sort of oil terminals in the north, in the south, in Ashkelon, the Dimona, which is the nuclear site. So Israel is a relatively small country. It's actually pretty a small country by any standards. So they have a list of these places that they say they'll hit. And it appears, based on the October 1st attack, that some of the Iranian missiles can probably go past the Israeli air defense. But the problem is Iran itself doesn't have kind of air defense capabilities at all. It has S-300 from Russia, some locally built systems, but it doesn't have even the best standards from Russia. It has tried for years and failed to get the sort of most advanced air defense from Russia. So Iran might be able to hit a couple of important sites in Israel, but then it would be much more defenseless. And also, if you compare the military capabilities between the two countries, not just missiles, but other military capabilities, Iran lags behind pretty badly. For example, doesn't really have an advanced air force, whereas Israel has you know, one of the best ones in the world. So when you look at the numbers, they're, you know, they're not that different, but the military capabilities of Israel is definitely a lot higher.
Not to cut you, can I ask you about Iran increasing its uranium enrichment ever since the U.S. pulled out of the nuclear deal in 2018? Do you think that Iran could be forced, or its hand could be forced into building nuclear weapons if it does get into a direct war with Israel, the only country with nuclear weapons in the Middle East?
Many in Iran are now advocating this. Unprecedented number of people in the Iranian establishment are advocating for Iran to go ahead and build the bomb, leave the non-proliferation treaty, and do this. There's certainly an option that Iran can pursue, although it would also have difficulties of wanting to achieve this because United States, Israel, and others have promised to stop Iran from doing that. And they might even try to strike precisely to push Iran's nuclear program back like that.
That's Arash Azizi, author and visiting fellow at Boston University. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.